Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work, and the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are even full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
We're going to read the entire passage before we break off into our small groups. Yep, Acts 25. So now as y'all keep turning there, I just want to say, you know, maybe right now would be a really important time to try your best to follow along and to listen to what's being said. And if anything stands out to you while reading this passage out loud, remember that. And this will be an opportunity for you to be able to save some time when you break off into your small groups, so you don't have to necessarily reread the entire passage. But maybe you can go right to where your eyes were drawn to when we went through it the first time, as we're about to. So, Acts chapter 25, we're going to read the whole chapter, and then I will break you off into your small groups. Now, 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul. And they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea, and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So, said he, let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Caesarea, or from Jerusalem, stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Paul argued in his defense, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I committed any offense." But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." Now, when some days had passed, Agrippa, the king, and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a man left prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of disputes with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Being at a loss how to investigate these questions, I asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding them. But when Paul had appealed to be kept in custody for the decision of the emperor, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, you will hear him. So on the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp, and they entered the audience hall with the military tribunes and the prominent men of the city. Then at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death, and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him. So this was the word of the Lord. And this is Acts 25 that we just read. And so what I would like for all of us to do now is to break off into groups of three or four. Four or five, depending on how you get together. But try to get in a group with people you don't normally get in group with. And I'm just really curious to see how the Lord leads you in your discussion. And I look forward to hearing some of the conclusions and some of the things that you were able to draw out from this passage. So take about the next 10 minutes to get in a group with three or four others around you and discuss the passage, and then have someone be a representative to share what your group discussed. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start asking groups for representatives. We're going to start wrapping up. Huh? You're just not listening. Yeah. Yep. All right. So we're going to go ahead and come back together now, and I'm going to ask for representatives of each group to share what you and your group discussed concerning this passage. And as we do make our way back to our seats and kind of get reoriented in this direction, I just want to say it never gets old. Every time I get to sit back here and listen to all of you just kind of dive into the passage and share and talk, like, it's just really encouraging to see how you all are able to look at God's word and to draw out truths and principles and challenges and encouragements from the passage, and really just so you can know my heart in it and the leaders' hearts, and clearly even Pastor Mike, when he was here, his heart in all of this is that we would know how to feed ourselves, right? That we would know how to open up the word and draw the truth from it ourselves, so that we are being further equipped every time we do that to be able to do that act with other people, inviting them into your home, getting a cup of coffee, going out for dinner, whatever the case may be. You are learning how to open up God's word to draw out truth for yourself, and then in the hopes that everyone will get different opportunities to share what your group discussed, you grow in that ability to communicate God's truths to others. And so just know that this part is really intentional and during our time in the gathering, because this is helping us be equipped for the work of the ministry that God has called us to do, which is to be able to testify about his truths, but mainly the truth of who Christ is and what Christ has done and the hope that we have in him because of his resurrection. So be encouraged. Right, I know I am. Like I said, I it never gets old to me. It just brings me so much joy to be able to just sit back and listen to all of you just be excited and kind of pumped up. It's hard to get you guys to stop, right? And that's a good thing. So it's encouraging. So at this time, would anyone like to share what stood out to their group? Thank you.
So I learned something very interesting this morning, that according to Roman law, if you accuse someone of a capital offense and they were not found not guilty, you were to suffer the punishment that they would have suffered. Mm. So that just shows you how much the Jews hated Paul. Even after 2 years of being in prison in Caesarea, they were still willing to come down and accuse him of capital crimes that he didn't commit. And it just goes to show, in our lives as Christians, by professing our faith in Jesus Christ, we are going to be persecuted. Not every day, maybe. And in other countries, it's even worse. They just shoot them. They don't care. But I think we have to stand strong in our faith regardless of what we're going through. And then God said Paul was going to Rome.
Yeah.
He didn't say how Paul was going to get to Rome. And God used court system to get Paul to Rome.
Yeah.
And he witnessed to how many people, guards and kings and, you know, just people that he may not have ever come in contact with, but by going through the court system, he was able to profess his faith and witness to those people. And who knows how many of those were encouraged and converted to Christianity because of Paul's imprisonment.
Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you, Beth.
We sort of talked about that same line, that he was in front of the king. He was in front of all these powerful people and sharing his testimony. And who knows exactly, like you were saying, Kathy, who knows what happened with those people and who they talked to and shared that with. And it reminded me of a verse in Colossians that Paul wrote that says, it's Colossians 4, verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So God used that whole kangaroo court, is what I would call it, where the Jews are making these accusations and the Romans are like, this doesn't affect us. You know, we don't even need you here, but God had him there. And often I think we can look back in our own lives and see things, why did that happen to me? But it was giving us that opportunity, that open door to be able to share our faith.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of along that the same lines that Beth was speaking. You know, Paul was a Roman citizen. He knew all the laws of Rome. He was, you know, high up with the religious leaders. He knew all the religious laws and everything of the time. And even though in his past he was a persecutor, but God still used everything in his life for these moments. And God uses everything that we have learned from even when we were before we were saved to the point where he saved us. He's going to use it. And I brought up how since Dennis lost his leg, I've met so many one-legged people. Or because and you know, and God uses that in his life to share his testimony. So no matter what you've gone through, you know, this is where God puts us in different arenas to reach different types of people.
Also, when I was reading that, I was thinking about Paul's boldness. He was strong and bold because he would get into the Word and he would learn the Word. When I was coaching, I found out, even coaching little kids, if you were making stuff up, they knew it. This kid never played football before, but he knows that you're just making stuff up.
Yeah.
So if they asked you questions and you tried to buffalo your way through, they would find out different and then lose faith in their coaches. Whereas if you were true with them and said, well, I'll go find out, and you go to somebody with more knowledge and try to find that out, that makes you more bolder as a coach. And they believe in you. And the same thing is when you're leading people to the Lord, you have to be bold.
Yeah.
As you saw it, Paul was not afraid of anything. The worst that they could do to him is kill him.
Yeah.
And he was not afraid of that. So if you do not fear consequences and you know the Word, you can share that Word and let God use it through the people that you just shared it to.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, brother. That was really encouraging.
While you're on this side of the room? Yep,
might as well.
Yeah, save you a few steps.
Yep.
We talked quite a bit about the box that Paul put Festus into here when he appealed to Rome. And you know, they were getting ready to let him go, in which case, not only would Paul probably not have gotten to Rome, probably wouldn't have gotten 2 miles from the palace.
Yep.
The Jews would have hunted him down and killed him in short order. So it was really pretty crafty on Paul's part to sense that they were getting ready to let him go, and he knew that if he appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen, they had to send him to Rome, and so he would remain under that protection. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty slick, but it really put those guys in a box, because now here they are, they've got to send him to Rome. He's accused of a capital crime. There really isn't a capital crime, and it isn't a crime at all by Roman law. So how do I explain this to my boss that here I'm sending you this guy that he's not guilty of anything that we can punish him for?
Yeah.
it makes him look like an idiot if he does that. So
Yeah. That's
why he's consulting with Herod and Bernice and whoever else he can find. Give me an idea. What can I write for a charge against this guy when I send him? Because I have to send him, and I don't have a reason to send him, but I have to send him because he appealed to Caesar. So he's stuck there. Something that we didn't talk about that you and I talked about the other day, though, was the fact that here's Paul put away in prison for a couple of years. He's trapped in this place, and he can't get out, and he can't do anything. And Beth, you kind of alluded to the fact that he had an audience there, which he also had when he got to Rome, and he was in prison in Rome for a long time, that he had an audience who came to him that kept him safe so he could continue to present the gospel in a safe place. And so it's important for us to remember that, you know, we can be bold and we might face consequences that are really unpleasant, or we might find that God provides a path for us to continue to give our testimony in an effective way and to keep on using us, even though it looks like we're locked away in prison and we've got to be patient and it feels like I'm not getting anywhere, I'm locked up and trapped here. You're not trapped as long as you're in God's hands. He's going to make use of you in some way, some fashion, even when it doesn't necessarily feel like it to us.
Mm. So. Yeah, amen. Thank you so much. All right, got one two groups left.
The way we looked at it was in this way, is that from the time of his conversion, Paul was told that he would have an opportunity to share God's word with Gentiles and with kings. And he didn't give him a road map. He didn't say, take this road, go here, go there, talk to this person, talk to that person. But Paul knew that God was true to his promises. And Jesus had actually told him that he would have an opportunity to go to Rome. So we looked at it from the point of Paul's blind faith that God is true to his word, and he knew that this would happen. And we're reading in these verses exactly about that.
Mm, amen. Florence, you'd like to share something?
I used Paul's situation with my son, who gets this pamphlet, Give Us Our Daily Bread.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in the hospital for a long time, and he said, I don't know what to do with them, Mom. I don't want to throw them away. I said, why don't you give it to the people who are there with you? And like Paul, with his situation, my son reads the Bible every day, so he knew exactly what Paul went through.
Yeah.
And I said, just like Paul, you know, being in prison and sharing God's word with the guards, you could be doing that. So he started doing that, and I'm so happy and proud of him.
Yeah, amen. Such a good example of how to redeem any circumstance and situation we find ourselves in, to be faithful to the Lord, you know. And even though he might not have chose that path for himself, that is what God had in store for him, to be able to be a light to his nurses and the people taking care of him. And who knows the impact that that's going to have on their lives, you know. And so, praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing.
I'm starting to be able to remember and use something that's in the Bible.
Mm.
So I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, amen. It's always a good thing when we can learn to appropriate God's word to our lives. All right, I know you all have to go, but they were screaming for the mic, so we'll come right back to you. Yeah, the porch pirates, they always steal the mic.
Thanks. One of the things, you know, as an encouragement to me was that God had told Paul earlier on that he was going to be his witness in Rome as well. And the question is, what happens if Festus had acquiesced and allowed Paul to be taken back to Jerusalem, even though the Jews and the high priest had a plan to ambush them and kill Paul. Would that have happened? And to me, the answer is no, because God said, you're going to be my witness in Rome. That's exactly what is going to happen. And how does that encourage me, and perhaps should encourage us? When God says something, it is going to happen, regardless of what plans man may have or we may have. And he says he's going to he has gone to prepare a place for us. I don't have to know where it is. He's just gone to prepare it. So I'll enjoy it one day along with you.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing.
Just one other thing that we noticed, and this has been throughout the last chapters, but again and again, it's not about his true actions, but about beliefs, where it says, when the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I suppose. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. So our beliefs can do strong things, because they brought many and serious charges against him they could not even prove. So those extreme emotions and hatred can lead to some pretty serious things. So just an observation we had.
I was piggyback on what Glenn was saying and some others here. I'm thinking, in our modern world, if somebody were imprisoned against their will for 2 years, we would be complaining it's not fair, it's an abuse of power. We would be attacking the government. And Paul had a much broader vision. What looked unfair was God's plan, because it provided him protection to share the gospel. And so I think that's a different way of looking when bad things happen. What is God's plan in here? Rather than, yeah, it was unfair, but that wasn't the issue. God used unfairness to accomplish his plans. And so it makes it changes. I think we can look at politics and government and see God instituted them, but even when they are wrong, God still uses them to accomplish his purposes.
Amen.
Can I give an example of that?
Sure thing. I'm all for it.
Not me, somebody else. It's hearsay. But it was an interview with the Chinese pastor, and they were talking about the situation in the States with so many pastors getting so liberal and getting away from Scripture. And the Chinese pastor said, the problem with American pastors is they don't spend enough time in prison. He's serious, because look what happened with Paul while he was in prison, and his theology continued to develop and his influence. When we get put into prison, and it kind of brings us back to the basics and to the essence when we're locked up, and we don't have a lot of distractions, and we can focus on God and become much more close to him than we are when we're out running around shopping and doing whatever. You don't have anybody else. There's nobody else there. It's just you and God.
Yeah, amen. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
okay, we'll
keep going. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm really encouraged by everything that y'all were able to draw out from this passage and the things that the Lord impressed upon your heart. And when I was first here and I went around and was asking the group, you know, it was almost like y'all had actually, you know, helped me in the process of preparing today. Like, you said so many things that the Lord impressed upon my heart to share with all of you. And like I said before, that isn't like oh man, they said it first, now I got to think of something else to say. No, that's not the case. It's so encouraging to be able to hear all of your responses and what it affirms in my heart and in my mind, and I think should be an affirmative in all of your hearts and minds, is that the Spirit is at work among us and we have unity in the Spirit to be able to draw out the truths from God's Word and know for a fact, man, this must be what God wants us to hear, because we're all hearing the same thing, right? And we know that we need that encouragement. We need that challenge. So in light of everything that has already been said, by God's grace and mercy, I pray that what I'm about to say will be communicated in such a way that just reinforces everything that you've already been able to draw out. And I know for me, I need to hear something quite a few times and sometimes in different ways for it to really stick, right? And so maybe that's what God has in store for us today, right? He wants to communicate the same thing in a few different ways so that it really sticks in all of our hearts and our minds. And Lord willing, as the days progress, right, as each day comes and we seek to be bold in our faith, who knows what we, as those who are gathered here at Candlewood, may experience because of our boldness for Christ. And, you know, how comforting and encouraging it will be when we're able to think back on these truths. You'd be like, man, we've been covering this. It's difficult right now, but we've been going through it. Like, God's been impressing this upon our hearts. And this also helps us bear one another's burdens. This helps us be there for one another when maybe one of us do go through it. And we can remember, I know what they're going through. And let me be an encouragement and a challenge. Let me help them remember all that God had drawn out over the past few weeks that we've been gathered together. So as we consider the context and recall all that has taken place this far, right? We know that Paul has now been held prisoner for 2 years, which we've talked about various times. This only proves and shows God's providence in keeping Paul safe. Like it was mentioned, if Paul would have been released, right, the zealots most certainly had a plan to put Paul to death. Like Jerry said, they probably wouldn't have made it very far from his place where he was being held. They would have been all over Paul right from the get. But once again, by God's providence, through unexpected means, Paul pretty much was untouchable for 2 years, right? God provided safety for him. And like others had mentioned, I'm sure that in Paul's imprisonment, that he used every opportunity that he had gotten to witness to others, right? And I'm sure that he spoke boldly with his guards and the officials whenever he could get an audience with them. Now, that's not given to us in the text. Like, it doesn't actually explain that that's exactly what was happening. But nevertheless, though I'm confident Paul would prayerfully seek to make the most of his circumstances, I can only imagine that Paul's faith was being tested during this time as well. Though he knows very well that testifying to the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that we have in him and the fact that he really is the promised Messiah is worth it, it doesn't take away from the fact that during his imprisonment and during all that he had suffered, you know, Paul's faith would have been tested. Paul has really been through the ringer, and it's all because of his undying commitment to and an endurance in boldly testifying to the truth that Jesus really is the Savior. And he did this time and time again. Now, we have to remember that Paul is human like us, right? He isn't a superhuman, even though we often like to think of him and others like him in that way. Paul at times needed to be encouraged by God to not be afraid. He at times needed God to push him to keep going. Recall Acts chapter 18, when Jesus came to Paul and said, "Don't be afraid," right? Because Paul was afraid. He must have been, right? Or, you know, there would have been no other reason for Jesus to come to him and to remind him that he doesn't have to be afraid. You see, knowing my own prayer life and being able to listen in and read about the prayer lives of other brothers and sisters of the faith throughout the ages, I can only imagine how saturated Paul's prayer lives were with cries for mercy and prayers for help and for courage to keep going and to remain faithful in all that God had called him to do. Prayers for wisdom to say the right thing at the right time when given the opportunity, right? Paul needed God's help. And so do we, as we seek to be faithful as well. If we're being bold for Christ, we will inevitably, like everyone has already drawn out, we will inevitably face hardships and trials for our faith. And these hardships and trials, what they will ultimately try to do, right, is that they'll actually try to make us timid in our witnessing for Christ, right? Our hardships and those trials will try to keep us from being as bold the next time around. But we can't let the pushback we get for preaching Christ to others keep us silent. We have to keep pressing forward in the call to preach the good news and make disciples. This was Paul's aim, and yet time and time again, Paul is beaten, ridiculed, falsely accused, and seized by his oppressors, dragged before councils. right? And where we're at now in this narrative, it would be fair to say Paul is being robbed of 2 years of his life because of his hope in God. Now, I'm sure that if Paul were here today, he would not allow us to even speak of it that way, right? Paul considered suffering for Christ a great privilege. And I pray that we would also consider suffering for Christ a great privilege. But in a very real way, right? His freedom in life has been taken because of the life he lives in Jesus, right? He's behind bars. He was kind of in a corridor and kept safe and was allowed to have visitors. So it probably wasn't quite like, you know, cold dungeon bars, but right, his freedom to just go where he wanted and to go out to eat where he wanted and to meet with whoever he wanted, these things were taken from him because of the life he lives in Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that if I had gone through or do go through what Paul goes through, I'm sure that to some extent, right, these trials and tribulations would produce in me some level of PTSD to where every time I even think about sharing Christ with someone else, right, I might think to myself, is it worth it? How will they respond? How will they treat me? Is it worth the heartache and the pain and the ridicule and the harsh treatment that I may experience for standing up for what's right and preaching Christ in this moment, taking advantage of the opportunity that God has given me to proclaim the good news of Jesus to them? And sadly, even though we all know the answer to that question of is it worth it, which clearly it is, we too often shy away from the opportunities that God gives us, or we don't step out of our comfort zones because we're afraid to, right? That's something we all experience. I know I've experienced before feeling like God was calling me to say something, my heart is pounding, and I keep silent because I'm afraid of the potential outcome of that conversation. But brothers and sisters, we know that it's worth it, and we don't need to be afraid to stand up for what's right and to preach Christ boldly to those around us. And why is it worth it? How can we walk in boldness just like Paul did? Well, because his heart was set on the certainty of Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection of Christ gives us the boldness that we need to be persistent in our walk with the Lord, and for the persistence in being bold to our friends and our families and whoever God gives us audience with. And because Jesus is alive, a life spent for him is worth it, no matter how hard it gets. Hear this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 to 22. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we've testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, if Jesus didn't raise and his bones are somewhere in some tomb, then Paul is wasting his life, and so are you. And not only that, but if Christ be not raised from the dead, then he is also ruining his life and his relationships with the world. And if you're like Paul, boldly living for Christ and turning from sin, then so are you. And so, yes, Paul says it very bluntly because he wants us to really come to grips with the reality of the resurrection of Christ and the type of life that that ought to produce in us. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then we as believers who have placed our full assurance in the risen Son of God for salvation, and if we are striving to live for him, then we are a people who should be most pitied in the world. But praise be to God, right? The truth is, in fact, Jesus is alive. And so Paul is not wasting his life, and neither are you if you are living a life committed to Christ. Paul isn't ruining his life either, and neither are you when you live a life faithfully committed to Christ. Because Jesus is alive, because he has been risen, all who are in Christ will share in a resurrection like his. And this is why Paul labors in preaching to his communities and to his neighbors and to the religious leaders and the officials, and being willing to take a beating for it. Because in Paul's eyes, it is worth it. And I pray that that same attitude, or that same vision that Paul has for the preaching of Christ boldly to all, would be the same vision that we would share as believers in Christ. Now, I'm sure many of you have experienced backlash for sharing Christ with others. If you share Christ with other people, you most likely have experienced this pushback, right? No, I have. In our pursuit of sharing Christ and living a life faithfully unto him, some friends have probably shut us out. Maybe siblings or parents, children have asked us to stop coming around, or if we do, to stay quiet. Maybe some have ridiculed us and said things that weren't true and offensive about us, just like was happening to Paul, right? He can bear witness, right? He can sympathize with what he experienced and what we experience, right? Maybe some have said wicked and evil things about us, but as Glenn would say, it's just a part of the course. I've heard him say that many a times. Maybe I've misunderstood what he said because of his Jamaican accent. But really, right? Trials will come if you stand up for Christ. It's inevitable, right? But don't let these things keep you from being like Paul in Acts 24. When given the opportunity to speak, even in his chains, right? Even in his chains, the very thing that got him there, he kept doing. He spoke of righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. And then obviously would share the good news of Christ, that even though that judgment will come and God will repay each one according to what he has done, whether good or evil, there is a way in which we can escape that judgment. And that is through faith in Christ, the risen Son of God, right? But why did Paul do this, right? I mean, consider the circumstance. Paul's in chains. He's before an official who has the power to put him to death, right, if he wanted to. And yet, what does Paul do? He doesn't shy from the opportunity to share the truths of God's word with this person. He isn't afraid of potentially just making the list even longer of those who he's offended with the gospel, right? He does it because it's a matter of faith and love. Paul believes the truth, and the truth is what they desperately need, even if doing so meant upsetting Felix and his wife and making it even harder on himself. You see, Paul doesn't just set an example of what it looks like to hold fast in faith and remain steadfast under trial and hold on to the truth of Christ and not lose faith. But he equally sets an example for us to follow of what it looks like to endure in the often treacherous call to preach Christ no matter how many times he gets beaten and mistreated for it. Maybe some of you feel this way. You have friends and family and people in your life that you know are lost or are going down a path that just isn't right and threatening to their souls. And you've tried speaking up before and they reject you. They get angry and treat you poorly because of it. Don't give up. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't worry about the consequences that may come for witnessing of Christ, or preaching the good news of the gospel, for proclaiming things of righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, right? Don't worry about the circumstance, the consequences of doing that. Be bold and be faithful to keep speaking up for the truth whenever you are given the opportunity by God at the times that he chooses. You see, Paul could have been set free and no longer fearful of his life in any way if he would have just gave in to the hostility and gave it all up. If he would have just shut his mouth and stopped being bold for Christ, he could have gone on with his life, and he could have took up a new skill or a new hobby and retired by the seashore and made a lot of friends, right? But he didn't. And I pray we too, in light of the hardships and trials, that we would never give up. May we never throw in the towel and stop trying to be bold for Christ. And may we remember, as our Savior said himself, I mean, what good is it if we gain the whole world and yet lose our soul? And remember also when he also said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will save it. Brothers and sisters, don't let the pushback and the hardships and the trials you face and the persecutions that you may experience because of being bold for Christ keep you quiet. Don't let the enemy and the persecutions that come or the potential ridicule and loss of relationships take away your voice. May we be bold to stand up and speak up for Christ, no matter how scary it may seem to us at the time to do so. Now, in closing, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to give some time for all of us to pray. And what I want for us to do alone, between you and God, right? I want for all of us to take some time to pray and ask that God would take away our fears and the things that hinder us from being bold for Christ in the lives of friends and families, coworkers, people in our local clubs, whether we play pickleball or quilt or play games or whatever the case may be. Those people are in your life for a reason. And I pray that you would ask God to relieve your fears or anything that keeps you from sharing Christ with them boldly. And then secondly, also, pray that God would give you a sense of focus and vision for the ways God would want you to boldly serve him and minister to others. So maybe that is having a vision for your coffee group that you get with once a week, or the quilting group that you're able to meet with, or a group of people that you like to get together and talk about cars, or whatever it may be. Wherever you are at regularly, rubbing shoulders with others who may not know Christ, pray that God would give you such a vision and a focus to see all of them as your opportunity to be bold for Christ and to love them and to care for them in that way that you tell them the very message that could save their soul. And then hopefully, as they turn to Christ, also have an opportunity to disciple them, to encourage them, to challenge them, to teach them these things. Hey, now that you've come to know Christ, just be aware that you're probably going to face some hardships, but it's okay, we're in this together, right? So these are the things that I want us to just take some time to pray about silently by ourselves, and then I will close us in prayer, and then the worship team will come and lead us in a time of praise to our awesome God. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would rid us of our fears, our insecurities, and whatever gets in the way of us being bold for the truth of your Son, Jesus, that you would eliminate those things from our lives and that we would have eyes to see the opportunities that you are clearly giving to us to be faithful witnesses of just all of the truth you have made known to us through your word, mainly concerning your Son, Jesus, and his resurrection. Father God, we all have people in our lives that we know are lost. We have people that we rub shoulders with who we know are without hope in this life because they are separated from you and they do not seek you, they do not love you, and they do not trust you. And we know that we are vessels that have a precious light that has been put in us. And I pray that none of us would try to hide our light, that none of us would put the basket over our light, but that we would boldly stand up and speak up for the truths of your word and preach Christ to others and love on the people around us in this way. Father, I also pray that you would give us great resolve, that we would not live our lives passively, that we would not live our lives just sitting on the fence and thinking to ourselves, well, I know Jesus and that's all that matters. I pray that we all would be given a sense of focus and vision from you to see the areas in our lives that we can be really intentional with. To know that this is a place you have given me, God, to be a witness for Christ. These people, you have put them in my life for a reason. May I not squash the opportunities you've given me to represent you in this world. Give us boldness, Lord. We need it. We're too often afraid. Strengthen us. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us by your Spirit. And we pray all these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that by God's grace and mercy, you were challenged and encouraged in many ways just to continue to be bold for Christ, or maybe pursue a life of even greater boldness. I trust that the Lord will work in your life by his Spirit. So in closing, I thought it appropriate to read a benediction, a final words from 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now he has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what he has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. If you are a follower of Christ, the Spirit of God has been given unto you, and so has the gospel of reconciliation unto God through faith in Christ, the good news of his resurrection. That is a great responsibility that we all have, and it's one that comes with, right, great responsibility. It comes with weightiness, right? But it's a glorious responsibility to be given. So may we not shy away from the responsibility and even the obligation that we have to our God to be his faithful witnesses in the world, no matter what being a witness for him may bring in our lives. So you are dismissed, and I pray the Lord bless you.